few things are more nerve-wracking or more rewarding than jumping out of a perfectly good airplane. And picture yourself in the hull of that aircraft. You've just stepped in. There's no seats except for one for the pilot. You look for a spot and you sit down and you get comfortable. Or at least as comfortable as you can be, knowing what is about to happen. It's all quiet. And in that quietness, your mind begins to imagine what those next moments might be like. You're not nervous. You're just anxious. Just anxious to get through it. And then the engines start. The propellers turn. The aircraft taxis and then runs down the aisle. And moments later, you are airborne. Plane takes this steep incline as it goes higher and higher, ever higher, until it levels off. As it increases, so does your anxiety. The realization of the choice that you have just made begins to weigh on you. Is this really something that will bring me joy? Is it really something that I want to do? And you know in the back of your mind, if you really want to, you can back out. You know that if you really want to, you still have the ability to change your mind, to sit on that plane, and to ride it back down to the earth. But if you stay, if you jump, will you survive? And if you survive, is the reward really worth the cost? Now the airplane's up there, about 13,000 feet. Your name is called. Doors open. You're standing right on the edge. That perfectly good plane. Still not committed. Could still back off. But you know that below your feet, that's your reward. That's your target. That ground that you left voluntarily in a perfectly good plane is where you want to end up in just a moment. And if you can make it there alive, you will walk that ground as a new person. Person who has fallen, who has taken the jump, but who has survived. At this point, your mind is screaming at you. It's hurling at you every single excuse, every reason why you should take that step back. And it promises you the same confidence, the same freedom as if you took it forward. You know that's not true, but it sure sounds good. It's definitely the safer option. But would you really experience freedom if you didn't take the step? And so with that, you know that the minute you do, control has been released from your hands. The cord that is attached to the plane will pull your rip cord and open your chute. You won't have a say in the decision. The say will have immediately ended the moment you step off that plane. You're confident the cord's going to work. You're confident the chute will open. So why are you so afraid? Why are you second-guessing your action? And so you jump. And a few seconds later, it's all over. Cords pulled, chutes opened. You are floating like, I don't know, a bird. It's beautiful. You can take a breath. You can see the world around you. You just smile. And you just live in that moment. And then you take out a knife and you cut the chute away. It's absurd, really. It's unimaginable. Who in their right mind would discard their parachute after it saved their life? Why would somebody even consider it? Yet, isn't that what we do sometimes? Isn't that what it's like sometimes when we are forgiven by others? Remember that one argument you had with your spouse or your friend? The one where you uttered comments that were hurtful, and the next morning you felt awful. And just like in that plane, you built up the courage to go before that person and to jump, to ask for forgiveness. Just like that cord, you were given it. You were forgiven. But instead of living in that moment, instead of being at peace with that forgiveness, what do? You cut it away from your body and you continue to live in that guilt. You continue to live in that shame. You trade freely forgiveness
with the free fall of self-inflicted remorse and regret. Why?
Why do we do that? We don't do it just with those that we love. We do it with God as well. We approach the cross with our sins. We did it tonight. We ask God for forgiveness. And what does He do? He gives it to us. He gives it to us fully and freely and unconditionally. We are forgiven. But we still carry it around. We still hold on to it. Why? Why do we believe that we're not forgiven? Why do we believe somehow that we are not forgiven? Do we not trust God's forgiveness? In our gospel passage tonight, we read about the experience of a woman. This woman stood at the edge of the plain. And starting in verse 36, one of the Pharisees asked him to eat with him. And he went into the Pharisee's house and reclined at table. And behold, a woman of the city who was a sinner, when she learned that he was reclining at table in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster flask of ointment. And standing behind him at his feet, weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears and wiped them with the hair of her head and kissed his feet and anointed them with the ointment. She stood at the edge of the plain. She knows what she has done. She knows the sins of her life. And she can stay in the plain. She can stay in her sin. Or she can jump. Now, do you think that she had the same confidence of Jesus' forgiveness as we have with our parachute? I don't know. But I do know that she jumped. Her actions, what they tell me, is that she saw that as her only option. Staying in the plane, to her, was more frightening than placing her life in the hands of Jesus. She jumped. And Jesus saved her. Verse 44. Then, turning toward the woman, he said to Simon, "Do you see this woman? I entered your house. You gave me no water for my feet, but she has wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You gave me no kiss, but from the time I came in, she has not ceased to kiss my feet. You did not anoint my head with oil, but she has anointed my feet with ointment. Therefore, I tell you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But he who is forgiven little loves little." And he said to her, "Your sins are forgiven." So Jesus collected her sins. He collected them as tears upon his feet, and he carried them all the way to the cross. And he gave up his life for her sins. And he gave up his life for our sins. His blood washed over her tears. And they wash over ours. His blood washed away those tears. He washed away those sins completely. He forgave her. I'm guessing that she believed him. And I'm guessing that she lived a new life in that forgiveness. So I ask tonight, what about you? Will you also live that new life that he offers to us through his blood? Will you too stay connected to that parachute of forgiveness that is Jesus Christ? Please pray with me. Lord, please help me to forgive myself for the mistakes that you have already forgiven me for. Please help me to release and heal my guilt and shame, my regret and my fear. Please help me to see myself as you see me, forgiven child of God. In your name we pray. Amen.